Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Stand up, open up to Matthew chapter 5. And today we are jumping back into our Rethink Blessing series. We started this several weeks ago and then took off for a few weeks because there were some key Sundays that we had previously planned, and today we head back into this series. I'm very excited about it. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read the next verse that we come to in this series, and that's verse 5. Jesus said this, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And Lord, as we jump into your word, help us to allow the messages of culture to decrease so that we can hear the messages from your word. May that be prominent in our hearts and our lives as we head into this week in your name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Matthew chapter 5 through 7 record Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was speaking to his disciples and others, many others who were in close proximity, listening to him as he unveiled the principles of the kingdom of God. I mean, this message and the life that Jesus was presenting was not just any old message or life. This was the kingdom of God coming from heaven to earth, light coming against darkness and overcoming it, and there were principles that Jesus was unveiling to them that they had never heard before, they were never thought about before in that same way. And as he was revealing these kingdom principles, at the same time, he was inviting people to live them. He was inviting people to experience these principles and experience life in the kingdom. And Jesus begins this kingdom message with kingdom blessings. We know them as the Beatitudes. But on that day, these disciples are hearing these for the very first time, and they were forced to rethink how they define blessing. I mean, think about how Jesus started. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Like, what? No, we don't want to be poor in spirit. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. Like, no. This I was like, what? No, that's not who is blessed. It's not those. That's the worst. And Jesus goes on and says, blessed are the meek. And Jesus was flipping the script on these disciples and on the people who were listening. Like, what is he even talking about? We've never thought about it like this. I mean, is it possible that how we define blessing is different than the way God defines it? Is it possible that what we think is good and what we value is different than what God thinks is good and what God values? Consider some of the things that we value in our world. We value talents, we value charisma, we value power, positions. We value success stories. We value physical beauty. We value all of these things. Interestingly, Jesus later said that what human beings value is detestable in God's sight. Now, that was in the context of money and possessions, but we know there are other things, and I just listed a few, that we do value that God doesn't seem to value as highly. Consider when you were a little kid, people probably asked you, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do when you grow up? And we might have said different things like, I want to be a pro athlete. You know, you want to be a famous musician or a famous singer. You want to be rich. You want to own this, you know, own the world. You know, it's like you want to accumulate these things. We come up with all these different things that we're aspiring to have or aspiring to be. Lacey and I were on a walk a few days ago in our neighborhood, and as we're walking along, we look behind us, and there were a couple kids that were coming up behind us, and so we, you know, stepped off into the grass. I don't know if we did it like that. We should have done it like that. I think it's just more like this. This is way cooler now that I do it. We stepped off into the grass, and the little kids come rolling past. One of them was on a bike, and we just said hi. They start talking to us. We love kids, so we're just talking to them. We've never met these kids before. And they're going past, and one kid was on his bike, and I don't even know why he said it other than God knew I needed a sermon illustration. I did not ask for this. I don't know why he said it. It's so random. He's riding by on his bike, and he's like, I'm 9 years old. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And he's riding on his bike, and he's like, And when I get older, I'm going to be the first one to have 1 million followers on YouTube. I'm like, all right. I don't even know why he said it. It's so random. So we jumped back onto the sidewalk, kept going. I feel bad for the kid because I looked it up and there are so many people that have way more than 1 million subscribers on YouTube. He's totally missed it. Totally missed it. The kids want to do different things. They want to be famous. They want all these things. But I have never heard a little kid answer that question with, I want to be meek. Out of everything, like, you know, I just want to be meek. Like, I've never heard any kid ever say that. See, as people, we just value differently. We value fame. We value GPA and degrees, credentials and titles and positions. We value that the physical body. We value so many things that just don't seem to impress God at all. Why do you think the announcement of the good news went to the shepherds many, many, many years ago? Why did it first go to them? I mean, what if it had gone to the media? If it had gone to the media probably would have said, no, that's not good news, that's bad news, and here's why. You should have done this and that, and it's not a good time for Jesus to be born. I mean, think about that pronouncement going to the talented. They might have been looking around hoping that people had their phones out, taking videos of them, angels, right? Or the successful, those that we deem successful, they probably would have thought they were too busy. Check their calendars, it's maxed out. There's no way I can make it all the way to the manger. There's no way I can fit that in. There had to be a reason why Jesus decided for the good news to be presented first and foremost to the disciples, to the shepherds. I love what Max Lucado wrote about the shepherds. He said, these were men who didn't have a reputation to protect or an axe to grind or a ladder to climb. See, God chose simple shepherds who he knew would simply believe. God values differently than we do. He's impressed with different things than we're impressed with. And according to our text today, there is a characteristic that God seems to really value, and that is meekness. Is that in you? Now, before we try to define meekness, since I believe it is something that needs to be defined for us in this culture today, let me state what it's not. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. If you think about the term meek, it's not used a lot, or even if you Google it, you're probably going to get some definitions of a person that gets walked on, of a person that never speaks up for themselves. Someone said to me this week when I asked what they think meek is, and they said it's kind of like someone who's mousy. I'd never heard that before, but someone who's mousy. I've heard of bossy, but not mousy. Mousy meaning like they're not speaking up. They're just like, I'm just going to be over here in a corner, and I'm not going to say anything, do anything, just do whatever you want to. But what we see in Scripture is that this word is described at times as being kindness, it's patience, it's being humble. But understand, never in Scripture is this term used as weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Let me give you an example from Scripture, and that is Moses. Moses was described in Numbers 12 as someone who was very meek. Uses that word. Some translations say humble. Goes on to say that he was more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Now, Moses was humble. He was meek, but he was not weak. I mean, he went toe-to-toe with Pharaoh, the most powerful human being on the planet at that time. Again and again and again, he didn't back down. He didn't back down. When all of the forces from Egypt were converging on them to try to annihilate the Israelites when they had left Egypt, heading toward the Red Sea, Moses didn't back down. He's humble, but he was not weak. Jesus described himself as having a gentle and quiet spirit. It's the same Greek word that Jesus used in Matthew 5. Blessed are the meek. Jesus described himself as such, but weak? Come on. Are you serious? Not a chance. You'll not find one instance in the Gospels of Jesus being a weakling. Can't find it. because he wasn't. There was one instance when the people were very upset with what he was saying. It was very convicting to them, and so it was a mob that had erupted, and they grabbed Jesus, and they were taking him to the edge of a cliff in order to throw him off the cliff to his death. An angry mob, a bunch of angry men grabbed Jesus, and they're like, we're going to throw him off this cliff. Oh, wait. Scripture says Jesus just walked through them. Peace out. It wasn't an issue for him. When Satan tempted him, Jesus shooed him away like a little bug, just using scripture. Just can you get out of here? He was not weak, and he is not weak. Meekness is not weakness. But yet, this perfect one who was not weak, this perfect one who now lives in unapproachable light, sitting on heaven's throne, this perfect one humbled himself, and in John 13, we read about how he washed his disciples' feet. I mean, if you ever want a definition of meekness, just look at the picture of Jesus. As he is kneeling down as the king and saying, I'm going to wash your feet. And he's washing the feet of his imperfect, disloyal disciples, which was the most humbling and demeaning act of any servant of the lowliest order of that day. And Jesus stooped down to do that. He should have been being served. He should have been waited on. The disciples should have even just asked for permission. Can we even get close to your feet? John the Baptist said, I'm not even worthy to tie his sandals. But yet instead of the disciples waiting on him, Jesus takes the towel and gets down and washes their feet. Ultimate act of meekness, of humility, of lowering himself in order to serve. In John 13, we actually get insight into what Jesus was thinking before he grabbed the towel. It says it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Notice something. Jesus knew who he was. He speaks to the Father. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew it. He knew who he was. He knew what his mission was. His mission was to love them to the end, to love us, to bring the kingdom down the cross and rise again. Jesus knew his mission. He knew what he was about, and he knew where he was going. Where was he going? To the Father. Jesus knew all of that. So for him, it wasn't out of the question for him to get down on his knees and get his hands dirty and wash servants' feet instead of them serving him. He got down and he did that. Why? Because he knew who he was. He's the king. He knew who he was, so there was nothing that they would do that would change that. There's nothing that they would say that could change that. He was the king. He knew where he was going. He wasn't going to be there forever. He was there for a short time. He was coming to serve. He knew that his mission was to serve. His mission was to love. He knew all that. In other words, he had an awareness. He had an awareness of who he was and where he was going and what he was about. And I want you to know that awareness is the key to walking in meekness. Having an awareness empowers you to be able to live a life with that fruit of the Spirit, meekness, quietness of spirit, that even a gentleness, in so much that kids can talk with you and they feel safe around you, a heart that says, you know, I'm not above you. Your title might be above them, but you're saying, I'm not above you. I can serve. It's meekness. Awareness empowers you to live a life of meekness. First of all, what is so important in the terms of awareness is having a self-awareness. Having a self-awareness. It was 2003. Lacey and I were serving as missionaries in Benin, West Africa. And I was asked by a pastor in that community to come with him and to help with a water baptism that afternoon. And so that afternoon, I drove to where they were meeting and got out of my car and see this big crowd of people, and we were getting ready to do a water baptism for a lot of new believers there in that West African country. And I say new, not new as in like they just got saved 2 days before, but new as in they had given their lives to Jesus about 6 months to a year before, this group of people. Here's the thing. In that area, which was a Muslim area, which was a voodoo community, there was a cost to following Jesus. So if you make a public confession of faith, sacrifices are probably going to have to follow. There's going to be persecution. Some, if not all, of those that we baptized on that day went on to face intense, extreme persecution that we don't really have a context for in our country at this time. And so the pastors knew that in that area, we can't just say, hey, you got saved, all right, let's do water baptism. They knew they needed to go through discipleship. They needed to be grounded in the faith in order to endure the persecution that was getting ready to come. And so here I am, mid-20s, walking in that water, chest deep in the dirtiest water you can imagine, and I was getting ready to experience a moment that I would never, ever, 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 ever forget. And I had the opportunity with that pastor to help these people be baptized in water, to be able to congratulate them and pray for them and lead them in this in another language, living in another country on a different continent than I was born on. And there I was, my mid-20s, and I'm like, what? I'm getting to do this? And it was so significant because I knew my sins and I know my weaknesses. I had no right in and of myself to be in that water and having that honor of baptizing people that are getting ready to go out and face persecution. Come on. I'm telling you, walking in meekness is made possible when we are self-aware. Aware of like, oh, where I've come from. Aware of like, I don't deserve this. Aware of only because of God am I able to experience this. It's being self-aware. It's Moses climbing up the mountain to meet with God, to talk with him. As a man speaks to a friend, remembering that several years before he had killed a man in a rage. It's David sitting on his high throne over the people of Israel, and like, what? I get to do this? Knowing that he had come from the lowest of cities, Bethlehem, and he had been the lowest in his family. It's Paul the Apostle being self-aware as he's writing these pastoral letters that we still read today, but not hiding as he's writing these his past, his life before Christ. It's being self-aware. Self-awareness is the opposite of being self-driven or self-ambition or trying to put self first. Self-awareness is like, no, this I am only doing what I'm doing. You're only doing what you're doing because of Jesus, because of his grace. Apart from him, I can do nothing. Apart from him, I have no chance. It's echoing the psalmist who said, what is a mere mortal that you, God, would think of them? Who are human beings that you would even care for them? It's like being wrecked by the reality that God loves us and we don't deserve it. That he cares for us, that he looks out for us, that he gives us new mercies every day and we don't deserve it. Meekness comes with an awareness of who you are, of where you've been, and of who you now are in Jesus Christ. It's living a life where you're not trying to impress people, you're just trying to please God. Come what may, you're just trying to please God. People aren't going to be happy, I'm just going to try to please God. I think about my Aunt Jean when I think about meekness. Aunt Jean is 92 years old. She's my great aunt, and she actually just got out of the hospital. It was her first time ever in her life being admitted to a hospital, 92 years old. Some of you are like, I go there every week. 92 years old, first time she's ever been in a hospital, and she had fallen, had some issues, and so they take her in, and they came in and told her that she needed to get a pacemaker, and she said no. And so they came in the next day and said, she needed to get a pacemaker, and she says, not on your life. Come in the next day, you need a pacemaker. And finally, they get the point that she's not going to do any of that stuff. Now, something unique about Aunt Jean is her diet. She's lived a long time, very, very healthy lady. Interestingly, her diet might be a little different than some of yours or exactly the same. She has, for the last, at least the last 2 decades, eaten a fast food meal once or twice every single day, with the exception of like a Christmas. That's because often they're closed. Every day, 1 to 2 fast meals a day. I'm not lying about that. Her big things were McDonald's and Wendy's, but as she got into her 90s, she started branching out to the King. She's hitting Burger King now. And so she's 92. She says no to the pacemaker, like I don't know how many times. Finally, they let her out of the hospital. She stops and gets a hamburger on the way home. Like, come on. Now, you might think, well, Aunt Jean is just this abrasive lady, like, who cares, take no prisoners. No, she's this humble little 4'9" lady that just loves God. She knows God. She walks in the Spirit. She has never been able to go to another country and preach the gospel, but she sure prays for those who do. She's never been able to stand up on a platform and preach the word of God, but she sure prays for me an awful lot. She is a lady that when she was younger decided not to get married because she wanted to take care of her aging mother. So she worked hard and just stayed there to take care of her because her mother was all alone. Oh my goodness. She was at her house several years ago in her late 80s, and we were playing Old Maid, actually. And she said to my kids, I'm not an old maid, I'm an unclaimed blessing. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Aunt Jean, tell you what, Aunt Jean has lived her life just day after day after day, putting God first. Probably won't be any newspaper articles written about her. None of her videos are going to go viral. But she is living a life day after day after day until Jesus takes her home of just serving God, loving God's people, praying for God's people, and encouraging her church family and just being a light kind of like pretty much wherever she is. That's meekness. She's not flashy. She's just meek. She's just meek. One of the keys for us to walk in meekness as Jesus has called us to is to have a self-awareness. Hey, I'm not on this earth about me. I'm not on this earth just for me. It's for him. And it's to serve others. The second awareness that's so important for us is to have an authority awareness. An authority awareness. This word meek was used by the Greeks in the time that Jesus spoke this to his hearers to actually describe a horse that had been broken. Now, the horse was still powerful animal, but it was under control. It was strength under control. Because something greater, something larger, something more powerful, something more intelligent had broken it and was leading it and was the master. Reminds me of what Jesus said in Luke 17. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty. It is being someone who is strong but under control. I'm going to ask you, are you under the control of God? Are you broken before the Lord? Have you given him the reins of your life? Have you given him the leadership of your life? Day after day after day, Jesus, you're my Lord. Jesus, you're my King. Jesus, you call the shots. And Jesus brings out in this passage that when we've done what God has called us to do, let's not just like, God, start clapping for me. Did I do a good job? Start clapping for me. We're like, no, we're unworthy servants. We're just doing what he has told us to do. I'm so thankful for the relationship. We're even able to be called friends, Jesus said, through our faith in him. Incredible. But let's not forget who's on the throne. Let's not forget that it's him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's an authority awareness that we see in the New Testament. In fact, we see this word used over 100 times. It's a really big deal. Often, when you read the word authority, the New Testament's going to be referring to Christ's authority over us and over all the kingdoms of the world and over everything. But it's also referring to the delegated authority that he has given to us as a child of God. John chapter 1 is an example. Yet to all who believed in his name, to those who received him, he gave the right, he gave the authority to become children of God, that privilege of becoming a child of God. There's delegated authority to us as ministers, as people of God, sons and daughters of the King. But it also refers to, in the New Testament, the delegated authority that is over us, human authority that's been delegated to them over us. Let me give an example. Children, if you're living in the home, you are under the authority, the delegated authority of your parents. They are the delegated authority in your life right now, like it or not. Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, that it may go well with them, and that they may enjoy a long life on the earth. Kids, you want a great life? Honor your parents. Honor your parents. And I will do this just as a sidebar for parents. If you ever feel embarrassed or ashamed or like, oh, I don't really know if I want to give any accountability here. I don't want to step up and discipline. I just don't want to infringe. Let's just let them do what they want to do. Let me tell you, it is an act of love to keep your kids in the way that they should go. It's an act of love to do everything you can to point them to Christ, to do everything that you can to hold them accountable, everything that you can to have parameters for them and boundaries so that they don't just go off the deep end. It's everything you can. Ultimately, every person makes their choices, right? But as parents, doing everything that you can to give proper discipline when needed and accountability always. Here's the thing. It is an act of love. Why? Because you want them to have a great life. If you're like, oh, just let them do whatever they want to do, it doesn't really matter. Scripture brings out the point, and I think this can be stated, that you don't love your kids. And maybe I've said that, and it take a full message to unpack that, but basically what we see in this scripture is that our kids enjoy this life and be blessed with life as they choose to honor. So we as parents do everything we can to help them walk in that path. There's an authority awareness. For children, what about for us as citizens? All right, let's move past that one. Go to the next one. No, as citizens, here's the thing. Governmental leaders are the delegated authority or a delegated authority in our lives right now. Romans 13 says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. So we are to pray for our leaders. We are to submit to them as long as it doesn't contradict with the word of God. What about employees? Who is the delegated authority in your life right now? I believe there's an applicable passage in Ephesians 6 for employees where it says, obey with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Wow. Wow. See, a proper authority awareness empowers you to walk in meekness because you know who you are in Christ. You know where you've come from. You know where you're going. So there's a self-awareness and there's an authority awareness so you know who you are and you know your place. You know whose you are and you know who you're under at the different seasons and in the different seasons of your life. Proper authority awareness empowers you to be meek. There's one more awareness I want to speak to you about, and it's this. It's a future awareness. Because Jesus said this very clearly, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Every instance of this word in the New Testament, inherit, it points to something that God has promised us. And most of the time when you read this word, it's pointing to something that God has promised us for the future, for something we're going to experience in a time that we don't see right now, but a time that is coming. Jesus's hearers would have zeroed in on this because they were living in a very chaotic world under the oppressive rule of the Romans. There were many, most likely, on that mountainside that had been asked to join up with the Herodians. And the Herodians were a group that it was coming together, and they were willing to compromise anything, any standards, any morality. They were willing to compromise anything in order to get power. There were others that would have been tempted to sign up with the Jewish zealots who were willing to commit violent acts in order to stick it in Rome's face. And Jesus knows what is going on there. Jesus knows what people have been talked to about joining up with this group and that group. And he knows they're under the Roman rule. And he says, no. Violence is not the answer. Being power hungry is not the answer. Jesus said to them, no, the answer is being meek. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who don't aggressively go after their own self-interests. Blessed are those who are willing to lower themselves and serve. He wasn't saying that meekness is weakness. He was saying, actually, those who are meek will inherit, that they will rule, that they will end up on top, that they will inherit the earth. They will experience what is coming, that inheritance, priceless inheritance of reigning with Christ. 2 Peter 3 points to this. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and new earth that he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. The new heavens, new earth, that God is bringing and will bring, and that those who are meek, Jesus, they're the ones that are going to rule with Christ. They're the ones, the humble ones, are going to be the ones that end up on top. We might think, well, okay, Pastor Keith, that's to come, all right? I see that in Scripture when I'm time to go into Revelation, but I see that's to come. But what about now? What about my office? What about when I'm in the boardroom? What about when I'm on that crew or on that team? What about when I'm at the hospital, my job? What about even the place that can be the most difficult to live meekly, and that is home? What about then? Let me remind you what James 4 says. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see, when we walk in meekness, we are promised grace, his empowerment to live that out. The proud are not promised that. Those who are humble are promised that grace. In Psalms, we read that it's the meek who will be taught by God his ways. You see, as we walk meekly, we walk humbly, God has promised, like, I'm going to teach you which way to go. I'm going to help you go in the right way. I'm going to help you experience what I want you to experience. James went on to say, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You see, that's promise of grace, a promise of understanding of his word, a promise of being lifted up. Jesus says, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must first become last. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let me ask you, do you walk in humility? Is there meekness in you? Is that a pursuit of yours? I know for me, as I've been studying this, it's like, God, would you help me? Because I want to be more meek. I know that you want to be more meek. It's a pursuit that we should have. Because Jesus said, they're blessed. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. Many years ago, the staff of this church was at Pastor Joel's house for a meeting, and he had shared a devotional, or getting ready to share a devotional on humility, and he started by asking the question, what is your definition of humility? What is your definition of humility? And I said, very quickly, my dad. Before anyone else gave a definition, I just said, my dad. And it was a moment, it's one of those moments where everyone is silent. I mean, rarely are any of us in gatherings where it's just silent, right? Even right now, I'm still talking. But in that moment, when I said, my dad, he was asking for a definition, I gave a picture, my dad. Silence filled that room. None of them had ever even met my dad at that point, to my knowledge. A silence filled the room because all of us were forced to ask ourselves the question, would anybody say that about us? You see, you can be someone's picture of humility. You could be someone's picture of meekness. As you go throughout this week, by God's grace and His empowerment, you can be someone else's picture of what it means to lower yourself just to serve, to be strength under control, to be under the lordship of Christ, knowing who you are, but you're willing to serve, you're willing to love, you're willing to be gentle, you're willing to be kind, you're willing to be patient. When we show others that picture of humility, we are reflecting the very picture of Christ Himself. What an honor that is and will be for us this week. When someone sees humility in us, they are seeing a reflection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who humbled Himself. I want to ask each and every one of you, if you would, to bow your heads and ask the worship team to come and prepare. There's a scripture, as your heads are bowed, that I want to read. I want you to really think about this. It's from Philippians chapter 2. This description of our Jesus says, Jesus, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, and then being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus Christ humbled Himself, stepped out of heaven into this messed up world and into our messed up lives in order to live the perfect life, to offer the perfect sacrifice, rise again on the third day, in order to offer to us the opportunity to have sins forgiven and to be in right relationship with God. I know there are many believers in this place. You've placed your faith in Jesus. But I want to give you this opportunity for those who are here that you have not yet asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. And you want Him to be your Lord and Savior. You want Him to forgive you of your sins. You want Him to be the King of your life, and you're ready to surrender to Him. Would you just lift up a hand right now? I would love the opportunity to pray with you. Just give a moment throughout this entire auditorium. You say, today's my day where I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want my life to be in Him.
You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.